Go ahead.
This conference will now be recorded.
All right. It's being recorded. A few more seconds to get 1 p.m. All right. It's 1 p.m. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Florida Building Commission's Plumbing Technical Advisory Committee meeting of January 25th, 2024. Just a quick reminder about background noise. It helps if you keep your devices on mute. If you're on a phone, do not mute your phone. I mean, do not put your phone on hold, but you can mute it. Please wait to speak when invited, and please state your name each time you're speaking and TAC members when making and seconding motions. All right, let's determine that we have a quorum. My understanding was Commissioner Schilling probably wouldn't be here, but I'll check. Commissioner Schilling? Okay. Commissioner Batts?
Good, Jeff.
Okay. You're still invisible, but you're here. That's good. Bob Boyer?
I'm here.
Gary Duran? Eduardo Gonzalez?
I'm here.
Very good. Isaac Hovner? I see Isaac's here. You're muted, but okay, I'm fine. I'll mark you. Gary Kozan?
Here.
All right. Commissioner Langille?
I'm here.
Very good. Stephen Mayfield?
I'm here.
Jack McStravick? All right. Brian Rickert.
I'm here.
Okay. There you are. Let me check one more time on those missing. Gary Duran.
Gary, I'm here.
Okay, Gary.
I'm here.
All right, great. You're on.
Yeah, I'm fixing to get to a computer, but I'm about 6 minutes away still.
That's fine. It's just that for some reason that we're having a difficulty with the system. The phones aren't showing up, but you're here. So that just leaves Jack McStravick. All right. Well, in that case, we have 9 of our 11 members present with a quorum, so we're good to proceed. We have Sabrina Evans, Jim Hammer, Simone Madani, Barbara Peters, Chip Sellers, and Justin Vogel present from DVPR.
Your entry.
I'm Jeff Blair, the Commission's facilitator, so we'll proceed from there. The first order of business is to approve the agenda, which is to approve the July 25th, 2023 minutes, and to provide the Commission with your recommendations on comments submitted for errata and glitch amendments.
Move to approve.
Gary Durant, move to approve.
Second, Boyer.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Are there any opposed? It's unanimous. Is there a motion to accept the July 25th, 2023 minutes unless there's any revisions or corrections?
I move to approve.
Thank you. Duran and Boyer, respectively. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. I'm sorry, this is Jack McStravick. I attended late.
Okay, did you vote on these, on the minutes or the agenda?
And I approved. I heard both of it, and I approve also.
All right, so that gives us a 10-0 vote. That's what I was trying to figure out. So, very good. Okay, well then let's proceed on to the next issue. I'm going to review the process we're going to use. There's some background noise coming from somewhere. It's kind of loud. I'm not sure whose it is, but that seems better. Okay, so I'm going to introduce each one of these in turn. I will ask the proponent if they would like to speak on it. We'll have 3 minutes. Anybody else in the public who wishes to speak in support will have 3 minutes. Anybody in opposition will have 3 minutes. If there are pros and cons, there's one collective rebuttal opportunity of 2 minutes for proponent and 2 minutes for an opponent. Once we conclude that, we come back to the TAC. So the TAC has two things. Is to first make a recommendation to commission. Is this submitted item, if it's an errata, does it meet the definition of errata, which means a list of errors on current and previous editions of the Florida Building Code? Or if it's a glitch, does it meet one of the criteria in law for a glitch, which is conflicts within the updated code, the conflict between the updated code and the Florida Fire Prevention Code, unintended results from the integration of previously adopted amendments with the model code, equivalency of standards, changes to or inconsistencies with federal or state law, and this will not apply in this case, a need to adopt an updated national electrical code. So those are the criteria. So then you can make a recommendation that the comment meets the definition of errata or the criteria for glitch, recommend approval as submitted. If there's a tweak or change, approval is modified, or you can recommend denial if that's what you think is the right action, and go through each one in turn on that. Does any TAC member have any questions on the process? All right. Then I'm going to ask Mo to go ahead. There's still a lot of background noise. It's probably one of the phones that are not showing up here. If you're on a phone, would you mind, please, not putting yourself on hold but muting the phone, because it's a lot of noise. Okay. All right, Mo, go ahead and orient folks to the material, and then we'll get started.
Hey, Jim, share the screen, buddy.
I'm not able to, Mo. Justin may be able to.
Okay. All right, we can keep this screen on, by the way. I just have everything. Anyway, what you have here is the matrix, which we published, which has all the erratic glitches that we received during the cycle. And as you see, there's agendas for all the committees, along with the comments received, broken down by subcommittee, and also we have a column which says received by November 1st, 2023. That means all these comments were received, by the deadline. Also, we have the fourth column, which says glitch, errata with comments. This column has the glitches and errata that's received, along with comments we received on those during the 45-day comment period. And for the plumbing, as you see, there is the file with comments, so I'm going to open it, see if it's open. What's going on here? It doesn't open.
It might be the system that's not...
Yeah, there's something going on with the system.
Mo, I've got it open on mine. So if we can take it back to me, I'll open it up.
Okay, all right, let's go back to you. I just, we'll go from there, no problem.
All right, I'll go ahead and proceed then. All right, well, Mo, the first one is P. Just one quick note I didn't mention before. Any comment that was received late, in this case there's only one from the plumbing TAC, won't be taken up today. It'll be taken up during meetings on February 21st and 22nd for the appropriate TAC. So we have five to consider today. The first is PFBCFG Chapter 24, errata number one from DBPR staff. Mo?
Yeah, this errata is very straightforward. As you know, we removed the seismic requirement from the code. And looking at in Fuel Gas Chapter 24, Section G2404.8, it still has some requirements for seismic, so we would like to reserve that to be consistent with what we did with the code. So that's really consider this an errata.
All right. Does anybody from the public wish to speak in support of the comment?
Todd McAdam, BOAS, support.
All right. Anybody else wish to speak in support? Is there anybody in opposition? All right. Coming back to the TAC, if you agree, you'd make a recommendation to the commission that's been errata and to approve it as submitted.
Dr. Petrovic, make a motion to approve.
Second, Kozan.
We have a motion and a second to recommend that it's an errata and to approve as submitted. Is there any discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous as submitted. Next is PFBC FG Chapter 24, errata number 2, DBPR staff. Mo.
Yeah, this one is mainly, again, editorial or an errata. Is mainly we discovered that can't stop this. Okay, now it's stop. Okay. We discovered that section G2427.2.2 of the chapter 24 of the fuel gas for residential has a reference to item 1 and 2. There is no such thing as item 1 and 2. They were removed. So that we would like to make the correction here. So it's really a rare just to make that correct.
All right. Anybody else in the public? I mean, is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak in support?
Tom McAdam, BOAS, support.
All right. Anybody else? Anybody in opposition? Hearing none, I'll go back to the TAC for your action and a motion.
Move to approve, Gary Duran.
Second, John is second.
All right, we have a motion and a second to recommend approval as an errata as submitted. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That would be unanimous. All right, next is PFBC FG Chapter 24, errata number 3. From DBPR staff, no.
Yes, this is also an errata. If you understand how it is, the gas requirement that's in the residential code, chapter 24, how it's really put together and how it correlates with the fuel gas, they kind of mirror each other. And so section G2427.5.4, which being brackets, is needed to be consistent with 503.5.5 of the gas code, fuel gas code. We found out that the whatever underlined was dropped off, so we're adding the language here to be consistent. I'll consider this an errata.
Anybody from the public wish to speak in support?
Tom McAdam, BOAS, support.
All right, anybody else? Anybody in opposition? Hearing none, back to the TAC for your motion, please.
Gonzalez, motion to approve.
Second, Warrior.
Motion and a second to recommend it's an errata and approve as submitted. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Any opposed? It's unanimous. All right. Next is PFBCP Chapter 4, errata number 1, also by DBPR staff. And though I think the accessibility tech took this up too, so you might want to reference that. Go ahead.
Yeah. It has to do with section 403.1.1, picture calculation, exception. Two, we removing the reference to ICC 8.117.1, which has to do with accessibility. This standard doesn't apply or to the accessibility code requirement. So we feel like should be removed and reference the Florida accessibility code for consistency. So. Anyway, so we consider this an errata, just a correction.
Well, the accessibility tag took it up and...
Yes, sir. And I consider it in errata and approve it as submitted.
Correct. Okay. All right. Anybody from the public wish to speak in support?
Yes, Jeff. This is Scott, DOAF. I'm going to need a little help maybe from Mo, but just want to make a clarification. The next glitch that we're going to look at, comment number 3, references this sort of errata.
We're not
sure if that was put in the wrong place or not, but DOAF does approve this, but I want to know if we can include comment number 3 on the next glitch.
We have to take it separate. We will go there. We'll take it up over there and see what you guys want to think. It's fine. I don't think we need to really mix them together.
Sounds good. Then the BOAF approves this errata.
Is there anybody else in the public that wishes to speak in support? Is there anybody who wishes to speak in opposition? All right. That comes back.
Move approval. Gary Durant. Second. Dory approval.
All right. We have a motion and a second to recommend approval as an errata as submitted. Any discussion? Not hearing any. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. I see that there's comments submitted, but they're not on the chart as I guess number 5 is what we're talking about, right?
Well, my question, Mr. Jeff, is where's the comments?
I'm gonna go through them, and we can take them one by one, and I'll point out what's really we're talking about.
So this is PFBCT Chapter 4, glitch number 1 from staff. Go ahead, Mel.
This has to do with House Bill 1521. This House bill passed last year, and what we're trying to do here is mainly revise the code for to be consistent. And as you see, staff have added Section 427, Section 427 restroom and changing facility, respective of sex. And what we did is verbatim what's in the statute. We added 427.1. A covered entity as defined in Section 503.865 for the statute that maintain a water closet must at minimum have restroom designated for exclusive use by females and restroom designated for exclusive use by males or a unisex restroom. 427.2, a covered entity that maintain a changing facility must at minimum have a changing facility that designated for exclusive use by female and changing facility designated for use by males. Should be a word added here for exclusive use by males. So that's a correction we'll need to make. Every unisex changing facility. We consider this a glitch because we are trying to mainly make the code consistent with the law. With this, we have received a number of comments. First of one is, a comment from the Building Official Association of Florida. I think Scott submitted this comment. The other thing, staff added another comment, which is comment 2. So they have comment 1. And then staff added comment 2. I felt because of this legislation refers to a different term, which is really, for example, it talks about restroom designated, unisex restroom. It talks about changing facility. Those terms are not defined in the plumbing code. So I created a subsection under 427.3, which was being proposed, and those definitions only would apply to this subject. So I added a definition for changing facility, which is a verbatim from the law, a definition for restroom, definition for unisex changing facility, unisex restroom, water closet, and sex. So that's, those are terms that in that legislation, and they're mentioned in this code change. So I felt like, you know, probably we want to do that. Then we have received another comment, comment number three, from an individual from Franco. Mr. Franco, mainly what he wants to do is, his comment is that Section 403.1.1 Exception 2 should be revised by mainly to change the, where it says multi, where multi-user facility are designed to serve all genders. He wants to make change genders to mainly says males and females. So if you go through his comments, ultimately he says where multi-user facility are designed to serve males and females. He felt it should be changed to male and female. That's, let's see here. And also, in addition to that, we have received a late comment from Gary Kozan. It is posted on the system, but as a late comment. So it's up to you for it's up to you if you want to review it or see it. I'll be glad to bring it up if Gary you know, want to talk about it. But it still, it all has to do with this subject matter, which is really 1521 statute and incorporating the statute into the. That's all that I have.
Gary Durant speaking. I'd like Mr. Kozan's comments to be a part of this.
Again, this comment, I can bring, Gary can talk about it. If he wants to, you know, show it, I'll be glad to. He's a TAC member, and we can, it's up, you know, we can talk about it when it comes to. But, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sure, Gary Kozan, if you'd like, I'll try to speak to it now or later.
Well, what I'd like to do is the staff has a specific set of comments that, that we should discuss and take action on, and then we can discuss the other ones after that. So, is there anybody from the public that wishes to speak on the glitch comments that were submitted by DBPR staff? First and only at this time.
This is Don McGavin, DOAS.
Yes, Don.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about these sections because I think it's a little bit more involved, and I think DBPR staff, most groups should look at it a little bit closer. So as I was starting to say with the other errata, I agree with support the glitch proposal, but then I also agree with most additional definition in his comment number two from staff. But I don't think it goes far enough because House Bill 1521 and Florida Statute 553.865 are basically identical. And I think if we're trying to be consistent with that House Bill, I would say when Mo added Section 427.3 definitions, he included six. But I would offer to be more consistent, I think there's four important definitions that were ignored. I think we should include covered entities where the beginning section that Mo is adding 427.1, covered entity as defined in section 553.867, why don't we just include, instead of going back to the statute, include the definition for covered entity right here, entity, and then include public buildings, female and male. I think those are four definitions that have been missed. And then I do support comment number four, where we change all genders to male and female. So those are my comments. Thank you.
All right. Does anybody else in the public wish to speak in support of staff's errata, glitch amendment, the package?
Hello. Hello, my name is Bronco Domofsky. Can you hear me? Okay.
Wait 1 second. I need to start your clock. I'm going to go ahead and start you. Go ahead and say your. Everybody gets 3 minutes. Your name and representation. And go ahead, sir.
Hello, my name is Bronco Domofsky. I'm the one who wrote the comment number three. Mostly, I'm familiar with this process, but it's kind of like sounding like being a get smart dome of the cone of
the cone where you can't hear anything. But I thank you for your time. I appreciate this opportunity to speak and relay my concerns regarding the plumbing code in 403.1.1 exception 2. Also, building code 2902.1.1 exception 2. And also, which probably will relate to SRF standards. I was asking for the removal of the wording serve all genders because it is a highly politicized topic in today's culture. By leaving these words in, it allows this harmful ideology to enter into the building code. I believe if we leave this terminology in there, it allows for future code cycles to make it adaptations which would further this agenda, which the governor of Florida has clearly signaled opposition to this philosophy. In regards to House Bill 1521, I thank Mo and his commission that they added plumbing code 427 that does a very good job of attempting to clarify the wording, but I still believe allowing this ideology wording in there, it's harmful, I believe, and allows them a foothold to bringing this in further, because in future cycles, once the word is in there, now they can expand on this, and I don't believe it good for our children or even our families. And I also added in that those comments in Florida Statute 847.7, which I'm kind of do it just a little definition partially. Harmful to minors because it concentrates on excessive characterization of sex. And this ideology, I think, is harmful to our families.
Just to let you know, you have about 30 seconds to wrap up.
And I would like the attorney of the commission to comment on these admissions. And thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you, sir. Does anybody else from the public wish to speak at this time? All right. So we'll come back to the TAC. We'll take action on this on DBPR staff's specific set of comments. And then, Gary, if you want to discuss yours after that, we can certainly do so. So I'm going to come back to the TAC for your action and motion regarding the glitch number one with as modified, correcting the one word that was missing that Mo mentioned for the UGR's comments. Is there anybody wishes to make a motion on that?
Motion to approve. Second, Warrior.
I have a motion and a second to approve DBPR staff their comments as modified, with Mo read the one minor change in terms of adding the word. Yeah, I'm going to get to the order.
Component of the order.
There is no point of order. What you need to do is wait until I finish what I'm saying, and then I'm going to ask for discussion, okay? All right. That's what's on the table. The motion is to do that, to approve that as modified. All right. Discussion. Who would like to discuss this? What's that?
Where's Gary Cozen. Gary Cozen, I'd like to discuss it.
Before you do, let me just get a list, Gary. Gary Cozen, okay, who else?
Gary Duran.
Alright. Anybody else? Okay, Gary Cozen, go ahead.
Okay, just to back up a little bit, what happened in the I-code cycle in 2019-2018? They added two provisions within the code that basically provides an alternative design option for multi-user bathrooms or all-inclusive bathrooms, a bathroom that either and or sex can use. There's two sections in our current code now that would conflict with the new state law, Safety and Privacy Act, because that law requires in certain locations, certain locations only, that use strict male and female bathrooms or unisex facilities, single occupant unisex facilities. And it goes on to describe the sexes and et cetera, et cetera, and the covered entities involved. So I think our first decision point to make now is, do we want to continue forward with what the I-codes have adopted? Right. And I can tell you that this the idea of all-inclusive bathrooms does not appear to be going away. It's in the I-codes, and it has continued through the following cycle. Do we want to continue to allow that as a design option within our code, or do we want to just defer entirely to the new state law that deals really strictly with just a subset of buildings? Once we get beyond that, then we can decide what sort of language, where we want to place that language within the code, and do what we can to make sure that we don't have any conflicts with that particular state law. But I think the first thing I think the TAC needs to address is, are we going to continue with these sections within the I codes, within our code now, 403.1.1 exception 2, and 403.2 exception 6. Those are the two things that are new to our codes that deal with all-inclusive bathrooms, multi-user bathrooms.
All right. Whenever time, I need to say something, but whenever time.
All right. Well, Gary Duran was up, and maybe Justin might want to weigh in at some point as well. Go ahead, Gary Duran.
I'm first raising a point of order. I can't see any modification or amendment. I don't know if we're dealing with comment one, comment two, or some hybrid comment. Can we clarify that before we go into the discussion, or was the motion just on comment number two?
It was on staff's set of comments, which was comment number, the comment for changing the House Bill 1521 language for section 427, and then the piece on 427.3 with the definitions. That's all we're taking up. Is that
I'm very confused because I see a comment with no number. I see a comment one. I see a comment two. I see comment three and comment four. Again, how can I vote on something I can't even see or read or understand? I have no idea what I'm voting on. That's my point of order, first of all. Let's resolve that.
Gary, this is Momadani. What you were asking is, I've just said that the code change, which is submitted by staff, section 427, restroom and changing facility respective of sex, that's stated as a glitch. Then, as staff added comment two, which is really provide the definition. That's the only thing that staff is submitted. And what?
Okay, I would like to speak specifically then to comment two.
Okay.
On comment two, we're talking, got to get that down to it because I'm very confused. I'm lost in the woods a little bit, but let me get back to this comment two. Okay, here we go. Comment two, and point number five, water closet means a toilet or urinal. That's not correct. That's a conflict in itself. A water closet is a commonly used term, so is urinal. Every one of us knows what that means. I don't think that that's technically correct, and I think that in itself is confusing. And then in comment on the item six, I'm really good with the everything except the last phrase, because it says an internal and external genitalia present at birth. I don't know how many of you have actually done your homework in this, but there's at least six different representations of human genitalia, including people that are born with both. So I can't support this. That's opening up a can of worms. I don't think the code has any business in delving it. So I'm going to oppose the motion.
Hey, this is Momadani. I need to clarify something. All what we're doing at this point is putting the statute language. This language, these definitions are in 1521. All what we're trying to do is include this in the code as is. I don't have any authority to revise them. I'm not trying to revise them or improve on them. That's something really through a code change, maybe in the future, somebody want to do that. At this point, we really, the window we're working with is a a glitch, trying to really incorporate what's in the statute. We limited. We're trying to focus in only on those covered entities that's in the statute. We're not trying to expand it and include everything. That's something could be done under a normal code change process. This is a glitch. This is a short window, very direct. So, and that's what we've done, Steph. Well, what we did is trying to bring those what's in the statute into the plumbing code that the people can be aware of the fact that there is a statute, there is a specific requirement for these covered facilities.
Alright, so Justin, is there anything you want to say at this time?
I would just echo what Mo just stated about the sort of the scope of the proposals that staff has submitted and really the scope of what the tax is looking at here. We are only looking to address conflicts with state law, not to sort of revamp in a, you know, comprehensive manner anything which may touch on the subject. We are strictly looking to ensure that there are no conflicts with the current code with the new state law.
So what we have on the table is a glitch amendment submitted by staff to eliminate the inconsistency in the updated code with state law, which is the first piece of this, which is adding new section 427, and then not comment one, but just comment two, which is then the definitions, which were taken directly from statute, not speaking to whether they're good, bad, or should be improved or not. That's a separate view. That's what the proposal on the table is to simply do what's required by law, which is to eliminate the inconsistency with the updated code to Florida statute and Florida law. So that's what's on the table. Any further discussion on the motion?
Yes, Gary Kozin. What I'm concerned with here is this additional language, including the new definitions, and by the way, they're not even really including the most important definitions, which is the definition of covered entities, which gets into a whole new ballgame. But I'm concerned that what you're going to be doing, and Gary Duren touched on it, that you're going to contaminate our code with a bunch of new definitions that either do not belong, they don't apply, or they don't comply with the current plumbing code. And I would suggest, and I don't know if this is the time, but what I tried to do in my particular, you can call it a comment, basically what I was wanting to do was just throw out an alternate language for this section that could clarify everything we're trying to do, which is basically eliminating conflicts with state law and if we can aid in compliance with state law at the same time and do it in a concise format, then I think that would be better than adding what essentially is going to end up being a 2 pages of new language that's just going to add to confusion.
Hey Gary, this is Mom and Don, if it's okay. I know I added those definitions because when I looked at the law and I looked at the code, first of all, I felt like those definitions is kind of unique. And that's why I included them under 427. They only apply to 427. Another option, if it's something that you feel, I could remove those definitions and mainly reference the statute for the any additional definitions on the subject. I could reference the statute instead.
That's basically what I've been trying to do, is just provide a simple pointer that says, you know, it tells about covered entries as defined in yada yada state law. You've got to provide this additional, you know, separate restrooms or single-sex, unisex. And leave it at that, and that points everybody in the direction of that particular Florida statute, and then you can look at the appropriate definitions. When we're talking about public buildings, they're not talking about publicly utilized buildings as we generally discuss in the building codes. They're talking about buildings that are publicly owned or leased by the state or by a local governmental entity. Totally different than a public building. people are going to get so darn confused on this unless they look directly. The first thing they got to do is they got to pull up that state law. It's only five pages, two pages of definitions
Let me make a suggestion, because it sounds like Mo is not in opposition. You could propose an amendment to this, which would be to, in lieu of the definitions, to make a pointing reference back to the appropriate statute. We could vote on that, and if that passes, we'll go back to the original motion, which is just the first part as amended.
Let's bring up his comments. I know he submitted a comment. Share the screen, please, and I'll bring. If the committee would like to see Gary's comments, I'll be glad to bring it up, and you can see it. Can you share the screen, Jim? Okay. So let's see here. We can share it with the group, and if it come up, I'm sure Gary could.
When was his comment submitted? I didn't see it.
Yeah, it is on the metrics. It's not, but here's his, Gary, you can see your comments, 403.2.2?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, speak on it.
Okay, well, you can see, first thing I did was I changed the location to 403.2.2 because 403.2 addresses separate facilities, and that's the topic of discussion. So I placed that in an existing section where it belongs, rather than created a whole new subsection on the very tail end of Chapter 4, which is kind of confusing. Secondly, I just mentioned that, said briefly, covered entities as defined in 5-3-865 Florida statutes. You have to go there to find out what the covered entities are. Covered entities shall provide separate restrooms and changing facilities based on biological sex, or to provide single user unisex facilities. I would strike the word two. That's redundant. And this is just, this distills it down to just the basics. It eliminates conflict with state code. It provides a pointer to all code users to take a look at that Florida, at that state law. And apply it accordingly, and it does not eliminate the design option of going in other than covered entities, using multi-user facilities. So it's, I suggest that we consider replacing the language, all of that language, with this particular section.
This is all the language in comment 2, correct?
That's all the language in that entire, yes.
Okay, Jeff, that's for my proposal along with comment 2. He's trying to replace both with this language.
Okay. So it would be an entire replacement. So instead of having 427 as you drafted, it would be it, period. Okay.
That would be it, period.
Gotcha. All right, well, that, you know, right now what we have on the table is a motion and a second to go with what's there, so we would need to make some changes. One choice is you could make a substitute motion, and we could vote that, and if that passes, then that substitutes it. If it doesn't, we go back to the original. That would be an option you have, Gary.
I'd rather make her...
No, I'm not touching the original motion in this method. What I'm doing is I'm offering Gary a chance to make a substitute amendment. And if that passes, then that replaces the original one.
I make that motion. Gary Duren. I make the motion that this proposal that we see on the screen be the language that we adopt in the ERAD.
Okay, there was a lot of seconds at once, I think, so who made the second?
Gonzalez, second.
Very good.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. The motion on the floor is to approve the code amendment, or the code glitch, if you will, that Gary Kozan submitted, 403.2.2. And that would be the entire replacement for the language.
there any discussion on that motion?
Gary Kozin, one quick one. I would also delete the word "to" in the sentence.
Sure. I think that's something that we could do editorially, but and also, so we'll just say as modified, and that would be to strike the word "to" in front of "provided" in the last portion of that. Okay.
Agreed.
Any further discussion on the motion? All right. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Are there any opposed? Is there any opposed? All right, that is unanimous, and that is the recommendation to the commission that this is a glitch and to accept this language as modified from Gary Kozin as the language for this comment, for this section of the code. So let's see, this would be a glitch as modified, Kozin. All right. This is the ninth pack. Sorry, my voice out. That's all the agenda items we have on the table. The other remaining one will have to be taken up in February. Is there any other comment from the public at this time?
Yes, Jeff. Scott McAdam, BOAS.
Okay, Scott.
Just a comment on what we just went through. The past couple of days and continuing through this afternoon, we've taken a bunch of legislation that passed last year and incorporated it into the code in different volumes to make the pointers that we just talked about easier. So I think Moe just creating 427 was just a pointer. I'm not sure why we're trying to hide the statute language under a rock. We're just making it easy to be seen. And why would we do it with all those other glitches and erratas? And this one here is suddenly so much different. So I'm just totally against that, because we could easily put it in 427. And, you know, we're always dealing with confusion. It would only apply to 427. And it would only apply when we're doing, like, Gary's one comment was public buildings means different things in different sections. Well, we know that because we have these strict definitions. So that's my only comment. I don't know why we're changing our way of doing things. And we've always incorporated the legislation right into the code. Thank you.
All right, Scott, thank you. Is there anybody else in the public that wants to comment?
Hello, this is Bill Domofsky. Is this addressing 403.1.1 exception 2? Because I think we're kind of painting around the words a bit, so I'm just kind of getting clarification.
All right. So this is just a general public comment. It's, you know, for any issue before the tech. It's not on any specific one, but if you want to speak on something, do you want to have anything to say?
Well, he submitted a comment. And his comment was, with regard to 403.1.1 exception 2, and he wants to change, his change is to change gender to males and females. And he's asking, is this, you know, that's really...
That was up to the TAC to decide. And TAC, they didn't take it up, so. All right, is there anybody else in the public who wishes to comment?
As a TAC member, am I allowed to comment?
Why not?
Thank you, sir. You know, everybody that chimes in after the fact is not very useful to us. And it's really easy to take shots at something once it's done. You should have made your comments while the process was going on. Maybe then we would be more enlightened. That's all I can say.
Yeah, he did his comments. He did bring up.
I'm talking about the general public comments that start about the process after the deal's done. That's just out of order, and you know we all want something simple, and we don't want to confuse our code. That's it. Period. I mean, this is the process.
All right, that's fine, Gary. But you know, once again, the public has a right to make a comment. We try to keep them on, you know, general public comments, but that you know they have their moment. So.
Mr. Duren, I'd also like to note that the conversation was at the TAC level at that point. So ordinarily, through our process, he wouldn't have been able to chime in and interrupt.
Right, and
unless, you know, some specific member wanted to ask a question or something along those lines. But, right, so that, I mean, that's just how it works, and there's still opportunities for comments.
Gary Cozen, I have one final comment just to address what Scott said. I understand where he's coming from. All we're really trying to do here is to aid in compliance with state law and make sure that we don't have a conflict in the, within the code, a conflict with state law. By providing a simple pointer, you've got to review and understand the state law. It's not long. It doesn't take long to read, but you've got to understand the scope and the definitions within state laws. The only way that you could do that in the code would be basically copy and paste the entire state law into the state, into the Florida code. And I don't think we want to get in the habit of doing that. We've got a pointer. Everybody goes in there, read what the definitions are. The definitions are very important because there's so much difference between how they define things and how we as code people, building code people, define them.
All right. So I think we're done with comment because we're kind of getting back into the actual discussion. So I'm going to go ahead and ask for a motion to adjourn. Someone make that motion, please.
Motion to adjourn, Gonzalez.
There a second?
Second, Stephen Mayfield.
All right, all in favor say aye.
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 All right, thanks everybody. Appreciate your hard work on this. And
this conference is no longer being recorded.